at-risk/reduced-risk behavior. In this chapter, we will look at the concept, the process, what to do with the data, stage one, and what to do with the data, stage two. In this chapter, we will discuss the concept of at-risk/reduced-risk behavior metrics. The concept. Reduce at-risk behaviors before they result in injuries, ill health, or incidents. Often, when an injury occurs, the behaviour that led to the injury was evident a number of times before it connected with the agent that caused damage. For example, a worker may use a grinder without safety goggles a number of times without receiving an injury. Then, one day, a spark may connect with his eye. The at-risk behaviour was evident before the injury. In this case, grinding metal without safety goggles. If we spot an at-risk behaviour and correct the behaviour, we can prevent the injury, yes? Well, sort of. In that moment, at that time, that particular injury was prevented. The problem is that the at-risk behaviour was supported and created by the environment. Just correcting the behaviour does not necessarily change that environment. The environment that supported the at-risk behaviour could, and most probably will, still exist. In most cases, it will support a similar behaviour in the future from either the same or a different performer. It is unlikely that an intervention and successful correction of the performer's behaviour will drive the desired behaviour the next time they are required to carry out the task. Correcting the at-risk behaviour is only part of the journey. It's the tip of the iceberg. It's a sign that an environment exists that supports at-risk behaviours. A sign that your company is supporting and perhaps even creating that environment. If you want to eradicate these types of behaviours, you have to change the environment that created the behaviour. We'll come back to that point, but for now, let's concentrate on measurement. The good thing about measuring at-risk behaviours is that the results will give you a good idea of the current environment. It is also a far better and far more moral measure than waiting until someone has actually been injured. If you were to gather data on the number of at-risk behaviours that are being performed in your organisation, this would be a direct measure of the potential for injury. This is not the same as measuring near misses, observations, or close calls. There are also far more at-risk behaviours to measure than there are injuries, which, in most cases, would make it a statistically viable metric. Similarly, the number of reduced-risk behaviours that are being performed in your organisation would be a direct measure of a successfully aligned environment. Measure both, and you would get a good idea of the proportion of at-risk to reduced-risk behaviours. If your sampling was consistent, you'd be able to see increases or decreases in your risk profile. The process. It is important to note that one size does not fit all. However, the following should be regarded as the foundation if you want a viable measure. Sampling. The sample of people must be relevant and relatively consistent. Those being sampled should be those who are most at risk of injury, like manual workers rather than office workers or supervisors. The sampling of behaviours should be made at least weekly and carried out as tasks are being undertaken by the at-risk worker. Observations should be made in a way that is unobtrusive and avoids staged behaviour. a sample size of at least 20 to 40% of the at-risk workforce should be undertaken at least once a week. The percentage sample should be consistent across each discipline, contractor or subcontractor. The judging process. It is important that the process of deciding if a behaviour is at risk or reduced risk is objective. Safe and unsafe are subjective labels and open to interpretation. Therefore, it is vital to base the judgment of the behaviour on facts rather than opinion. A factual judgment can be carried out by comparing the behaviour being performed by the individual to the desired behaviour that is outlined in the safe system of work, or as detailed in training, briefings, or instructions received by the performer. So the sampler should be someone that understands the safety requirements. The sampler. Who carries out the sampling is very important. It is best to choose someone who is experienced and is able to make the judgment as outlined above. In some cases, it may be best to carry out the sampling in pairs. This allows for discussion and consensus on any judgment, but it also allows for another level of objectivity and transparency. For example, the lead sampler may choose to carry out the sampling process with the supervisor or manager responsible for that area or for the workers working in that area. This would help to prevent any disagreement about the judgment. It should be noted that the objective here is not to correct at-risk behaviours. However, if there is a risk of personal injury, then of course correct the behaviour. But if intervention occurs with those at risk, the sampler should be consistent and reinforce reduced risk behaviours also. Data collection. It is important to keep data collection as simple as possible. A straightforward tally sheet could be used, noting the number of at-risk versus the number of reduced-risk behaviours observed. It is useful to take note of some examples, but fine detail is not required. It can also be helpful, again it's not essential, to note who the workers work for or which section they work in. This information can then be used to create targeted at-risk ratios for specific areas or subcontractors. What to do with the data? Stage 1. The data can be used in numerous ways to help improve health and safety on site, examples of which have been provided below. What should be avoided, however, is the use of data to prove how bad a specific area or contractor is. The point of collecting data is to jointly recognise the at-risk profile and jointly provide the necessary reinforcing consequences to improve performance. Here are some suggestions for using the data. Display the percentage data on a large graph in a prominent place where those most at risk will see it, like the canteen or a changing facility. Split the data by contractor or area and use as discussion points. Perhaps monitor contractor or area performance. Share the high-level information in the monthly progress meeting. Share the data and any examples at a local level with the local supervisor as required. Suggest weekly. Share the data and any examples with the local groups of workers. What to do with the data? Stage 2. The main purpose of this exercise is to reduce at-risk behaviours and increase reduced risk behaviours. The behaviour, whether at risk or reduced risk, is supported, reinforced, by the current environment local to the performer at the time of the behaviour. Therefore, to reduce the behaviours that are not desired, you have to increase the reinforcement for the behaviours you do desire. The desired behaviour has to become more desirable to the performer than the current at-risk behaviour. Measurement and feedback are key components to changing behaviours. But in this case, they are only the catalyst for action through conversation and local leadership. The most valuable use of the data and examples observed will be at a local level. The information collected should be used to discuss ways in which the local leaders, the supervisors, can alter the environment through their behaviour to reinforce the desired behaviours from those most at risk. How can they change the environment around their workers to make the desired behaviours more likely? This is where examples of at-risk behaviours are useful. These will allow purposeful and pinpointed discussion with the supervisor about the at-risk and reduced-risk behaviours. At-risk behaviour. Operatives observed working on site without wearing safety glasses. Discussion with supervisor. Have you noticed some of your workers not wearing their safety glasses when they are working? What are all the things you have tried so far to get your workers to wear their safety glasses? Is there anything stopping this desired behaviour of all your workers? Do they have the ability? Do they have the tools or materials readily at hand? And are the tools materials fit for purpose? What are the things that you could do and say to encourage your workers to wear their safety glasses? This is not about punishment, but it's about being fair. What would you say the difference is? Here are some things you could try. The person who has this discussion with the supervisor is crucial to its success in changing behaviour. It has to be someone who provides a direct consequence to the supervisor, someone that can influence their behaviour, and preferably, someone that they already respect. Things to think about and do. 1. It's sometimes difficult for people to see that they might be doing something that is putting them at risk. Why do you think this is? 2. The environment supports both at-risk and reduced-risk behaviours. Can you give an example of what kind of things might support at-risk behaviours? 3. Can you give an example of what kind of things might support reduced-risk behaviours? 4. What sort of open questions could a supervisor ask his or her operatives around at-risk data to generate ideas to improve reduced-risk behaviours of his or her workers? And 5. What sort of questions could a manager ask the supervisor to generate these questions?